So we're working overtime. Our brain is working overtime a lot of the time when we're being inauthentic. Being authentic is not just a path to creativity, it's a path to a better life, period. I'm Sharla Lariston. I've been a TV writer for almost a decade, but it wasn't that long ago that quitting my day job and moving to Hollywood was nothing but a pipe dream. After lots of failures, many mistakes, and many lessons learned, I've now written for 7 TV shows, 2 features, and sold 3 TV pilots. I've done all this through imposter syndrome, burnout, and with zero roadmap. On the Working Writer podcast, I pull back the curtain on breaking in and teach screenwriters and creatives how to thrive both personally and professionally. Without further ado, let's get to work. What's up, party people? Welcome to another episode of the Working Writer podcast. I'm your girl, Sharla Lariston. Thank you so much for joining me once again. Guys, I'm recording from Montreal, Quebec. I seem to only be recording episodes when I'm traveling, so I guess this is a sign that you guys need to blow up the YouTube channel so that I can travel and make episodes. No, you should blow up the YouTube channel, but it's not an excuse for me to not make episodes. I've actually been going through quite a bit of personal transition, and it's taken up a lot of my energy. So I think I'm just kind of instinctually conserving energy. And for me right now, making content sometimes takes up a lot of my brain energy. So I just try to make it whenever I can. But I'm coming to you with an episode on authenticity today. And I want to thank Ajani Jackson, a fellow writer, for suggesting that I make this episode because I'm doing a harnessing creativity and flow workshop with mindfulness and meditation. So it's called Harnessing Creativity and Flow with Mindfulness and Meditation. I'm doing that this Sunday, June 29th. So if you want to learn how to harness creativity and flow with mindfulness and meditation, come to that workshop. And I sent out an email promoting that workshop, and I talk about authenticity or inauthenticity and how a lot of times our creativity is stagnated because of inauthenticity. And I feel like I should start by saying, what is inauthenticity? And I would describe inauthenticity as anything that suppresses your natural, authentic expression of self. And that can happen anywhere. We can suppress ourselves, our authentic selves, in any setting, at work, in our relationships, within ourselves. There's tons of ways that we suppress our natural, authentic expression. And why are we doing this? Most likely, for most of us, it is a safety thing. At some point, or at one point, we learned that not expressing ourselves authentically or suppressing the self gave us safety in one way or another. Maybe it gave us connection as opposed to being rejected. Maybe it gave us acceptance or love or whatever we were getting from suppressing the self. A lot of times we learn self-suppression at a very early age and we don't even recognize how insidious it is, how it kind of like weaves its way into everything we do. And when I'm saying, like, how is it in everything we do? Well, inauthenticity can show up, you know, in imposter syndrome, like when you're feeling like you don't belong somewhere. So you overcompensate with perfectionism and with putting on a mask of who you think the people around you will respect and think is smart and accept. That is a form of self-suppression. That is a form of inauthenticity. You're not being yourself. perfectionism is a big one. Being a perfectionist is a big self-suppression. It's really saying to the self, you're not good enough, so I have to overcompensate. I have to work really hard so that you can be good enough. Guys, if you're watching this on camera, you're seeing me dab myself with freaking tissue because it's hot as balls in Montreal. Freaking hot as balls. It's humid. I'm dying. And I got my little fan over here, girl, like an auntie. So that's what we're doing. But anyway, perfectionism is a form of self-suppression. It's a form of being inauthentic. What else? Not showing that you're upset about something, pretending like you're not upset about something. A lot of times we do this in relationships. I know this was a really big thing for me. I grew up in such a Haitian household, such a Caribbean immigrant household. Like, these Caribbeans, they don't like when you express your dissatisfaction, your upset, your anger. So I had a real visceral reaction to expressing my anger because I grew up in a household where I was never allowed to express anger. It always came across as disrespect, even though anger is a healthy, natural emotion that tells us when a boundary has been crossed. So when you suppress yourself, there's all kinds of things that happen to you when you suppress yourself. A lot of us, we start wearing a mask of perfectionism. We start wearing a mask of, we take away certain mannerisms. We take away certain sayings or something like that whenever we're around certain people because we want to present ourselves in a certain way to be perceived in a certain way. We're very hyper-vigilant about how we're being perceived all the time. All of this is self-suppression. All of this is inauthenticity. Another way, when you're struggling with productivity, I say this a lot, that like when you're struggling with productivity and you're feeling unproductive and your way of trying to like be more productive is judging yourself and putting yourself down and going down this negative critical spiral of yourself because you're not as productive as somebody else. Self-comparison is another way to be inauthentic because you're suppressing your natural authentic expression so that you can copy or emulate somebody else. Suppressing the self. And when you compare your productivity, for instance, to somebody else and say, I use this example a bunch, like Stephen King can wake up at 4 a.m. and write 2,000 words a day. Why can't I do that? That's another form of self-suppression. That's another way to be inauthentic. Why? Because you are not even looking for the ways that you yourself can be productive. You're not even looking for the ways that you yourself are the most creative, get into flow. You're looking outside of yourself. You're looking at your surroundings to get a clue about what's acceptable, to get a clue about what looks good, you know, what is successful, what does success look like. And you're suppressing whatever natural inclinations you have. And the thing is, here's why inauthenticity, self-suppression is so dangerous to me. And all of this I'm talking from experience because I've talked on this podcast before about how I've experienced terrible imposter syndrome, especially in my first TV writing job. When you suppress your authenticity, you're also suppressing your creativity because your creativity comes from your authenticity. Now, this is not to say that you cannot be creative while you're being inauthentic because I got really far in my career being fully, you know, fully imposter syndromed out, huge perfectionist, huge inner critic going crazy, super negative, second guessing everything that I want to do. It didn't mean that I wasn't creative. It didn't mean that I couldn't express myself creatively. But what it did mean is that everything that I was expressing creatively was going through a filter of inauthenticity. It was going through a filter of, is this okay? Will people like this? Will I be accepted? I definitely think I became more perfectionistic and inauthentic when I got into a writer's room, because then the stakes were higher. When I was doing stuff on my own, when I was just doing stand-up on my own and making my web series and everything, that was really natural expression. That was really authentic expression, because there's the only person I had to please was myself. But as soon as I had to please other people, as soon as a paycheck was attached to it, as soon as my name is in the credits on a television show, I became extremely scared of expressing myself authentically. And it is a like reinforcing flywheel, I feel. Like the more I feared being found to be not good, not funny, not smart, the more I feared that, the more I censored myself, the more I edited myself, the more I held back, the less I enjoyed my work. Because guess, you know, how much work is your mind doing? Can you imagine how much your mind is working to suppress the authentic self? Can you imagine how much your mind is working? It's working overtime to suppress your natural inclinations, to judge your natural inclinations, to withhold your natural inclinations. So we're working overtime. Our brain is working overtime a lot of the time when we're being inauthentic, which is why being authentic is not just a path to creativity, it's a path to a better life, period. Full stop. It's a path to a better life, period, full stop. Creativity is just one of the benefits that you get from living a more authentic life. It's just one of the good things. Creativity, flow, a deeper sense of self-acceptance, a deeper sense of self-love, less self-criticism, less self-judgment, less self-hatred. So much comes, so much blossoms from just not being overcritical of yourself and suppressing the authentic self. You really unburden yourself. You unburden your mind. You allow your mind to flow creatively. You allow more creativity to pop up because you're not judging yourself so much. So I see nonstop benefits to being authentic. But if the benefits are so good, Sharla, then why do we, you know, why aren't we authentic? Well, I'm gonna tell you, let me get my notes. Mm-hmm. It's because of shame, honestly. It's like, what else is it? You know, it's shame. It's shame. The root of inauthenticity, the root of self-suppression is shame. And I feel like shame sounds like such a harsh word, and it sounds like a big thing that we have to feel. But it, again, it's insidious. It's sometimes even below the surface. It's everywhere. It's in the way we dressed. I remember, like, you know, I used to have some shame about my skin tone. Because a lot of dark skin Caribbeans, they wear skin lightening creams to lighten their skin. And, you know, our parents tell us to lighten our skin even. So I had this like ingrained shame about my skin tone. And it's like, it's my skin tone. Like, what am I supposed to do? You know what I mean? It's everywhere. Or a lot of us have this ingrained shame about being lazy. Especially when you come from an immigrant household, but it doesn't have to be just an immigrant household. It can come from society, from American capitalist culture. The ingrained feeling that if we are not working, if we're not busy as fuck, then you're worthless, you're lazy. And we have this shame around not being productive. It's insidious. It's in everything. And that's why it is something that you really have to become aware of. And so, well, Sharla, if it's shame, then what do I do about that? Well, this is why I teach mindfulness and meditation now, because of all my years of everything I've ever done, of writing, of stand-up, of therapy, of reading a bunch of self-help books, mindfulness and meditation has consistently been the one thing that I've found to actually address the underlying wounds, the core wounds. It's that underlying core wound of, I can't be lazy. That underlying core wound of, you know, my skin is not acceptable the way that it is. That underlying core wound of, I can't look stupid. I have to be perfect. You know, I don't want to lose this job. Like, whatever story we're buying into, whatever fear we've grabbed a hold of so that we can, I guess, give ourselves a sense of direction, a sense of, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I need to do in order to hide my shame, you know? Our shame is our shadow, you know? I'm getting woo-woo, guys, because frankly, creativity is woo-woo. What is creativity? We're just making stuff up. It's like the most human thing that you can do is be creative. It is literally the most human thing that you can do is be creative. And what keeps us from being our creative selves is that shame. That shame comes from our shadow. What is the shadow? From my understanding, the shadow is the subconscious. It's the parts of ourselves that we hide away. It's our shame. I had this really great therapist who made me do a exercise where she made me basically, like, it was internal family systems therapy, and she made me imagine my shame. She made me literally imagine my shame. She made me close my eyes. And when I closed my eyes, I could see a very dark-skinned, just scraggly little girl, like, in my mind. And actually, at different times, my shadow looked different in my mind. Very trippy stuff. I highly recommend internal family systems therapy. It's great in terms of integrating your shadow, healing the shadow that we have. But anyway, your shame, your shadow, it's all of the things about yourself that you don't like, that you are not proud of, that you're ashamed of. So at one point, my shame, when I envisioned her, she was fat and she was ugly and she was super dark skinned. She was just everything that I like hated about myself at some point. And the work of internal family systems therapy was to literally talk to my shame, was to invite my shame in instead of shunning her, instead of shunning the parts of myself that I hate, that I'm embarrassed about, that I'm ashamed of, to love them, to love my laziness, to love my imperfection, to love my clumsiness. I used to be really clumsy as a kid, and my mom would always, like, yell at me whenever I dropped something. So I became extremely anxious about being clumsy. So how can you sit down with the things that you are ashamed of, that you are embarrassed about, that you think are not so great about you, and love them? I know. I know. And I think the harder that it is for you to love the parts of yourself that you're super ashamed of, the clearer picture you get of how much shame you've been carrying the whole time. The more you become aware of, oh, I've been carrying a lot of shame around blah, 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 around my looks, around my status, maybe my financial status, maybe my relationship status, whatever. Maybe I didn't reach a certain milestone at a certain point in my life and I'm super ashamed of that. How can you sit down with that and accept it? How can you sit down with the parts of yourself that you cannot change and love and accept them? And the crazy thing is that the more, and it's not crazy actually, but the more you sit down with the parts of yourself that you don't find perfect, that you don't think are good, the more authenticity starts to spring up. The more that you allow yourself to express yourself authentically, even the things that you think are negative, like anger, like upset, because maybe it will, you know, kill a connection. If I show this person that I'm upset, they're not going to be, you know, connected to me. That was one of my big fears growing up because of the way that I was raised. It's like, if I express anger, if I express discontent, I risk losing connection. I risk being unloved, you know? But I have every right to be angry about something if I'm angry about it. Now, this doesn't mean that you can't be someone who is wrong, of course. Like, have I ever been angry about something and been wrong about it? Absolutely. But that's another thing. It's okay to be wrong. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to allow my emotions to bubble up naturally and express them naturally, however that they may be expressed. I'm not saying that you should crash out at work. I'm not saying that you should, you know, crash out on your relationship, whatever, or at your parents. I'm not advocating for any of that. Take this with a grain of salt. I'm saying the more you notice that you are suppressing yourself, whether you're suppressing anger, whether you're suppressing your literal ideas because you think they're not good enough, whatever you're suppressing, the more you practice noticing when you're suppressing and actually allowing yourself to express authentically and just dealing with whatever fears you have about what the consequences look like when I express myself authentically. What does it look like when I'm literally just myself at work, in my relationship with myself? I'm honest with myself. I'm honest with myself about the fact that I am angry, or I'm honest with myself about the fact that I don't fit in this, my life doesn't feel like it fits me. I'm at a job I fucking hate. I'm in a relationship I don't like. I'm in a city I hate. You know, whatever it is, I'm in a stage in my life where I thought that I would be, where I thought things would be different, and I don't like it. And that's okay. I think such a huge part of getting to the point where we can be authentic is acceptance. In the same way that I had to accept my shadow, in the same way that I had to accept the parts of me that I don't like, acceptance is a huge first step to authenticity. It's a huge first step to self-acceptance. And I use words like self-acceptance because I want to make it clear that whenever you are not authentic, this is going to come across as dramatic, but I'm just going to say it because this is what I feel. It's literally like violent towards yourself. You're being violent, you know, emotionally, mentally, potentially verbally violent to yourself. You're self-abandoning. You're abandoning the self. And we do it all the time, every day, in big and small ways when we're not expressing ourselves authentically, when we're not allowing ourselves to be imperfect, we're not allowing ourselves to make mistakes, we're not allowing ourselves to express ourselves authentically. Now I look back and I'm like, shit, that was violent, bro. Like, the ways that I suppressed myself, the ways that I ignored my intuition, that's another thing. The more that you're inauthentic, the more it like silences your intuition. Your intuition is there for a reason. It's you. It's you giving yourself a sense of direction. Your intuition is there for you, to guide you in your life. And the more that we are inauthentic, the more that we shut that voice up, the quieter it becomes. And then you wonder, why do I feel so like lost? Why do I feel like I have no clarity? Why do I feel so stuck? Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? What are you suppressing? What are you not being honest about? What are you afraid of showing to the world? That fear of being seen. Huge, huge shame there. And it doesn't mean that there is nothing to be afraid of. It doesn't mean that there are no consequences for expressing yourself authentically. You may be rejected, yes. Yeah. Yeah. That is the cost of authenticity. But if you don't express yourself authentically, you die inside. So it's either, I don't know. I think like it's literally, you know, it's a spiritual death. Okay. It's a spiritual death. You die inside. You either express yourself authentically or you slowly die, bro. That is the choice. Am I being dramatic? No, I don't think so. Tell me in the comments if, you know, if you think I'm being dramatic. Then I'll know if you got this far in the episode. But so how do we do this, right? I'm going to be teaching you how to use mindfulness and meditation in the workshop. I highly recommend that you check out the workshops that I'm doing there live. And I'll be walking you through some steps that you can take to use mindfulness and meditation. It's really just like two tools, two exercises, two mindfulness and meditation exercises that you can use to start to become aware of when you are suppressing the self and to address that suppression. Because that's really all you can do. Is build up your awareness about, hey, am I being inauthentic here? Am I hiding myself here? Am I fearing being seen here? Am I fearing being rejected here? Am I overcompensating here with perfectionism because I'm ashamed of appearing lazy or appearing stupid or making mistakes? How are you suppressing the self? How are you abandoning yourself? So that's what I have to say about authenticity, inauthenticity, self-suppression, self-abandonment. It's a huge act of self-love when you start to make these small, small steps towards self-acceptance. It's such a huge act of self-love because I think all acts of self-suppression have a level of violence to them that's how I think about it. When I think about the ways that I've like criticized myself, the ways that I've abandoned myself for what, you know, for connection with people that I don't even fucking like, or like, you know, to be good at a job that like, I remember in every corporate setting I was ever in every every setting I was ever in, I was always overcompensating, always being a perfectionist because I'm trying to prove something, you know, I'm trying to prove that, you know, I think especially as a Black person, I think, or like if you're a woman in a field with a lot of men, there's always this feeling of I have to overperform because there's this expectation that I don't belong here, that I'm not good enough. I feel a lot of people who come in through diversity programs feel that way. And a lot of these settings make us feel that way. That has definitely been the case. So it takes a lot of mental strength, mental fortitude, emotional fortitude to tell yourself, to assure yourself that you belong somewhere when other people, when the world is telling you that you don't belong. So you're stronger than you think. If you don't accept yourself, how can anyone else? If you don't love yourself, how can anyone else? If you don't express yourself authentically, then it's like we don't really know you. That's another thing. When we're hiding ourselves so much, no one ever gets to really know us. This is another way that we're being self-protective. And should you protect yourself? Absolutely. You know, there's totally reason and ways for you to protect yourself. It's about being free with the self. You know, you should protect yourself from other people. Not everybody needs to know everything about you. Not everybody needs to know your business. Not everybody needs to know everything. But with yourself, this should be the ultimate safety. Safety with the self. And that is what you're creating every time you allow yourself to be authentic. The closer you get to authenticity, the closer that you get, and it's going to take so many tries, especially if you are, you know, if you have these ingrained patterns of hiding yourself from the world and from your own self, if you have these ingrained patterns of, you know, hypervigilance to make sure that you are, you know, conducting yourself appropriately all the time. It's going to take like repeated attempts to be authentic, and it's not going to be perfect when you first start doing it. It's not going to be like a perfect expression. It's going to feel weird. It's going to feel out of character, especially if you're really used to self-suppression, if you're really used to self-judgment and being self-critical. Start to notice the ways that you're super critical about yourself, whether it's about how you're working, how much you're working, what you're working on, if it's in your relationships, if it's at work, if it's in your family, like where are you suppressing yourself? Where are you suppressing your authentic expression? Where are you being overcritical of yourself? Where are you ignoring the, you know, your internal signals that something isn't right for you? That's another thing. A lot of times, like, I'll work with coaching clients who they're very lost or they feel very stuck or something. And it's like, they know what they want, but it's not matching with the self that they imagine that they want to be, or it's not matching the self that they have projected to the world, or the self that feels safe. Sometimes some things that we want is going to make us feel unsafe in the self that we've created, the safe self that we have created to present to the world, the self that doesn't get mad, that's never angry, that is always perfect, that always shows up. Sometimes you're going to want stuff that's going to challenge that mask that you've created. It's going to challenge your safety. But what it's going to do is it's going to give you some internal safety. It's going to give you trust with yourself. And when you self-abandon a bunch, when you're inauthentic a bunch, you lose trust with yourself. It's actually one of the core reasons why we struggle with confidence. It's like a lot of people feel like confidence is like this, you know, outside thing that you're going to get. It's like, no, confidence is self-trust. It's self-love. It's showing up for yourself. It's being on your own side. It's caring about how you feel so much that you express yourself authentically, that you command respect, that you say, I deserve to exist as myself. I deserve to show up as myself. I have a right to a voice. I have a right to a seat at the table. I have a right to be here. I have a right to exist as I am. And nobody gets to take that away from me. Do you see how much of a motherfucking beast you become when you start living authentically and you start expressing yourself authentically? Nobody can take away your right to exist as yourself. And when you assert that, and when you literally walk and move and talk and create like that, the rest is history. The rest is history. It can only make your life better. It can only make you a better writer. It can only make you a better creative in every sense of the word. So, yeah, I hope this episode was helpful. I hope that you accept yourself. That's the first step, self-acceptance. And yeah, come to the Harnessing Creativity and Flow with Mindfulness and Meditation workshop on Sunday, June 29th. And I'll be holding one again in August. So if you can't make this one, I'm going to hold one in August and hopefully you can make that one. And either way, I'm holding a bunch of mindfulness and meditation workshops. So you should just roll up. I'm doing one on people pleasing, one on imposter syndrome. So if you are struggling with any of those things, come through to the workshop and learn some mindfulness and meditation techniques to address those struggles. All right, guys, that's all I got for you. Until next time, get out there, get to work. If you like this episode, please like, subscribe, share, or leave a comment for the algorithm gods.